Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Get expert advice from your friendly healthcare team at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
But back to the modern world, and even if you're not into gaming, you've probably heard of Minecraft, which is in fact the best-selling video game of all time. It's been called this century's Lego. And this week we had the release of the inevitable movie spin-off, a Minecraft movie. So joining me to explain the mysterious appeal of Minecraft is Geek Ireland editor and gaming enthusiast Olivia Fahey. Hi, Olivia.
How's it going?
What's Geek Ireland first?
Oh, it's the nerdiest Geek website Ireland. You'll ever meet in your life.
Okay. I think that explains everything. So come here, will you explain for me now, really basically, because comprehensively, what is Minecraft?
So Minecraft is kind of like a world building game. So there's a couple of different modes that you can play in. There's two kind of main settings you can use. So you can have survival mode, where you're basically trying to keep your character alive, and you're going to be building things, you're going to be mining for ore, and, you know, hunting for food, things like that, trying to beat off all these like creepy crawlies that are going to try and attack you as well. Then you also have creative mode, which is essentially you've got unlimited resources and you don't have to worry about all these external things that could kill you, and you just get to play and build and create. So those are kind of like the two main settings. It looks extremely old school. You would be forgiven for thinking that it's something from the 80s, quite kind of pixelated look to it, but it actually was created in 2009, and then in 2012, 2014, it was purchased by Microsoft for $2.5 billion. So it is quite the conglomerate.
Wow.
Now.
Okay. So when you talk about that creative mode, and I think that's a lot of people will be familiar with their kids building these worlds in Minecraft and everything, it's kind of different, so to like kind of shoot 'em up games and all that kind of thing. It's in a different realm, is it?
It is, yeah. So it's kind of the way I would describe it would be, as you said, Lego, but also The Sims. So you're kind of trying to keep this character alive, and you get to build them a home, and you get to do all these sort of other different things. So I always used to find those types of games very therapeutic, and you can inadvertently then have hours go by without you like truly realizing it, but just having this kind of mode where you get to be like, do you know what, I'm going to build this little thing over here, and I'm going to put this up here and this over there, and it's just kind of like a nice game. So it's not like, like, as much as you are kind of like battling spiders from time to time, it's not something like that's very violent per se.
And is it exercising your creativity then as well?
So 100%. And that's one of the reasons why I think, as much as parents are afraid of their children becoming addicted to video games, for something like Minecraft, it actually helps them develop their kind of their problem solving and, you know, critical thinking and things like that. So it's been proven to be quite beneficial to children in that sense. Of course, everything needs to be done in, you know, minority, need to like be have measured and timed and things like that, but you know, I think in terms of for an educational purposes, it's actually proving to be beneficial.
And they use it in educational settings a bit, do they?
Sometimes, yeah. In certain schools, they actually have, you know, used Minecraft analogies to help children understand different aspects of what it is that they're trying to teach. And I think that's such a modern way of looking at things, because being more in tune with how children are learning and how children are, you know, using their recreational time, and using that to apply it to, you know, problem solving in schools, I think it's very, very clever, because being able to speak the children's language is part of the problem.
Yeah, yeah. And I presume whatever your neurodiversity as well, like there's probably a common ground there in Minecraft for a lot of kids.
There is, yeah. And I think what's great is that it's not like age specific either. Like as much as like,
so
the majority...
So who plays it? We think of young boys largely.
Yeah. But yeah, actually, like when it first came out, my husband actually, he played it when it first came out in 2009. So it is actually something for all age groups, and parents can get involved as well and can start creating their own worlds. And then you can also like show your child, and then they could give you tips, or you could give them tips. And it's actually quite a nice family game, I find. Even though it's more kind of individual playing, there is a multiplayer setting that you can get involved with each other's worlds. But for the most part, it is more of like a single player game. But okay, there is that element of, you know, oh, let me show you what I did over here. And oh, isn't this like really, really cool? And, you know, it's really exciting for you to share an interest with your children, and it is actually something that you would enjoy as well.
And then there's a broader Minecraft community as well, yeah?
It is absolutely massive. Like there are Discord channels, so Discord would be like a community chat platform, and that like they are full of Minecraft chats. There are YouTubers that would often be sharing like their top tips for, you know, certain settings and things like that that they would recommend, or certain builds and things like that. There's Dante DM, who's actually in the Minecraft movie, so people have been very excited to see that connection be made between
the
movie.
In a minute, this guy's
well.
A professional Minecraft player, basically.
Yeah. Yep.
And people will go online and watch him play Minecraft.
Yep.
And he's probably a gazillionaire, is he?
Yep. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I know, there's a lot of money to be made in gaming, I have to say. Like, as much as they cost a lot, there is also a lot of people who are, you know, financially benefiting that aren't just the game developers themselves, which has been quite an interesting development over the years.
Okay. So it's all sounding very nice. And, you know, we think of online communities, we can think of toxicity and everything. Is this a very nice community of people?
It is, traditionally, yeah. Like, of course you're always going to get the odd person who's going to try and troll everybody to death, but it, for the grand scheme of things, because it is just everybody just loves it so much that they all want to help and they all want to see people be as creative as possible. Again, like,
it's very positive.
It's a really, really nice thing.
Everyone
yeah.
encouraging each other and stuff.
It
yeah.
is.
And
they
kids
are very
play
supportive.
It with their friends kind of as well. Do they like remotely? They're all linked up together, kind
they
of.
They are,
yeah.
And like, because it's also very cross platform, so you can have the mobile game, you can have it on the Switch, you could have it on the PS, you can have it just on PC as well. So it means that people, even if they don't all have the same console, there's many, many different ways that they can also play. So I always find that that's a really nice variable to have for gaming.
Okay, now you do hear of parents talking about their kids being lost to Minecraft. Parents who refer to themselves as Minecraft widows and stuff. Is it kind of addictive?
Do you know what? I would say anything can be addictive because, you know, there are people who are, you know, they could be addicted to fitness. They could be addicted to all sorts of different things that aren't, you know, seen as like a negative thing. But, you know, if you are spending the majority of your time doing it and choosing to do it over other family events kind of thing.
Better
then, yes,
than being in a crack den, like, is basically what you're saying.
That is exactly what I'm saying. And especially considering, like, with children, it being proven to be an actual, like, benefit to their learning, there are worse things that they could be addicted to.
Yeah. Is there a sense, though, you do hear about, like, kids who are irritated when they're taken away from their Minecraft and when they're not doing it?
Well, there's also kids that are irritated when you turn off the telly when they're in the middle of Pokemon. So
fair enough.
And I say that being one of those children who was told to turn off Pokemon and be like, no, I want to keep watching the episode.
So come here. What do you think the magic of it is fundamentally?
Honestly, I think it is just, as I said, like, it is quite a therapeutic game at times. It's just very simple. And I think also the fact that it's affordable. It's not one of these like massively expensive games.
How much is it?
It's about €40 for the basic kind of like starting point. And then, of course, there are going to be like add-ons and things like that. But from a basic gaming standpoint, it's one of the cheapest ones. It's more accessible. It's kind of not really targeting one specific age group. So you've also got like, I think the GTA 6, I think, is being expected to come out at like €89 later on this year. And that is like an adult only game. So that's going to be a very more niche kind of target audience. Okay. Whereas with this one, it's much more broad and affordable and is actually just a lot of fun. It's very just simple, pure joy.
So there was a huge ready-made audience for a Minecraft movie this weekend. But we know that fans of games can be very protective of their games and very judgy of the kind of films that come out of them. Are they receiving it well? Are they enjoying it, or are they giving out?
I've been quite surprised that I haven't actually seen as many negatives from the fans themselves as I was expecting it to. Like, when the trailer first dropped, people were a little bit kind of wondering what exactly they were going to get, because there's not really a storyline to Minecraft exactly.
Yeah.
With something like the Super Mario Bros. Movie, you had like, at least you knew that Mario was going to be rescuing the princess in some way, shape or form, because that's kind of the core storyline of the games. Whereas with Minecraft, you don't really have that. So curiosity is like how they were going to do it was there. But I think they found a balance with having enough kind of Easter eggs and winks and nods to the game itself that only the diehard fans would notice. And also having something that was a broader appeal to people who aren't as familiar with the games. They seem to have found that balance actually pretty, pretty well, even if Jason Momoa looks like he wouldn't be out of place in the Barbie movie.
Okay. It reminds me of, I don't know if you're watching The Studio on Apple TV.
Yes.
And they bought the IP of Kool-Aid and they're like, we need to make a Kool-Aid movie. But anyway, they pulled it off. Listen, so other gaming news this week. So I know you were in LA during the week. So tell me about the launch of the Nintendo Switch, but But now because of all the current turmoil and everything, the pre-orders, release date, all that, what's going on there?
Yeah, so finally, after months, weeks, years of waiting, we finally have an announcement.
There's huge anticipation for the Nintendo Switch.
Massive.
Too, yeah.
And so they had an announcement around January, February, to say that you'll get more details on the Switch 2 in April, mainly because there was this big technology event in Las Vegas in January, and a lot of people started leaking some of the demos and some of the remodels or their own kind of like little sneaky remakes. So Nintendo had to come out and basically confirm, yes, the Nintendo Switch 2 is coming this year and you'll get more information in April. They then confirmed it's going to be released in June 5th, which is actually much sooner than I think a lot of people anticipated once all of these rumours started kind of coming out. And it was going to cost in Ireland, it's going to be around €470 is how much it's going to cost, which is a bit more spicy than I think a lot of people were hoping for. In the US, they're looking at about $450, but all of the pre-orders have had to be put on hold because of the new tariffs that President Trump has brought into the US. And of course, because it's being shipped in from Asia, all of the costs of the parts and things like that, there's going to be a massive increase in that price, we fear. Before any of the Switch 2 news came out, there had been rumours that if Trump was to bring in these tariffs, it was going to have a massive impact on the gaming industry as a whole. You could see up to 40% increase in the US.
This could be the thing that tips everything, like nobody's thought of the gamers yet.
Exactly, yeah. 100%. So up to a 40% increase was what was expected even before the Switch 2 news came out. So they've had to hold off because now they have to try and factor that in and all of those costs. It could, honestly, if this continues, it could spell the end of, you know, actual physical gaming. So like the physical actual game discs, they could be phased out as a result of a cost-saving measure as opposed to...
virtual.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay, Olivia Fahey from Geek Ireland, thank you very much for that. We'll take a break.